Look, we're human beings trying to do life trapped in our minds, okay? And so it's not strange that you're doing what you're doing. It doesn't mean you're a bad person, but it's an inclination that then drives alienation from each other. And so it causes you a lot of pain because it creates the response in your partner that makes you feel bad, even though it's familiar. You know your emotions so well, which is part of your gift, but when it becomes the definer of your reality, then it becomes your vice.
Hey everyone, today's episode is a free preview of the Room for Two podcast. In this episode, Dr. Finlayson Fife is working with Brad and Kate. Now, this episode comes from the middle of the series because in it, she talks about the Enneagram, which is a tool that can help you better understand yourself and how you're showing up in relationships. We wanted to share this episode today because next week on March 12th at 12:30 p.m. Mountain Time, Dr. Finlayson Fife will be holding a free Q&A about the Enneagram. Click the link in the show notes to join our newsletter and learn more about this free Q&A. Enjoy the episode.
Hi, everyone. Dr. Jennifer here. As you listen to the coaching session that follows, you might be surprised by how much this couple's experiences resonate with your own. Because as humans, we have a tendency to get stuck in very similar ways, and it's often easier to see these patterns in others, which is why Room for Two is such a powerful learning tool. So when you listen, you'll likely see yourself in these episodes, and when you do, I encourage you to use the feedback I offer to make important changes in your own life, your own relationship. Please note that to protect privacy, the names, voices, and identifying features of the couples have been altered, but they're sharing their stories generously to help all of us. So I hope you'll benefit from what you learn here. Welcome to Room for Two. Brad and Kate, welcome back.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you.
So yeah, give me an update, how you've been, and anything that feels important for me to know.
I'll start. So I feel like overall things have been pretty stable. We've been able to have some decent conversations that have felt more honest and have felt less emotionally charged, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like they don't spiral quite as much. We can kind of say how we're feeling, maybe not agree, be kind of annoyed, and then kind of move on. Mm-hmm. And so that to me feels better because in the past, I've always felt like if I'm ever honest or say something I know he's not gonna like to hear, I know it's gonna really like dysregulate him. Mm-hmm. And not like in a mean way, but more like a quiet kind of poutier way. So that's been nice for sure. I think where we're getting a little bit stuck is once those kind of feelings are shared and the honest perspective or how we're doing is very much focused on us and not the other person, which is kind of what we got from what you were saying to us. After that, it's kind of like, where do you go from there? So we were having this discussion about how I was kind of telling him I was stressed about the house and all the Christmas stuff, really trying to not pin that on him because that was kind of like my initial response is I wanted to somehow blame him for all of it. Mm-hmm. You know, like this isn't something that's his fault. And also like I can just tell him this is how I'm feeling. And I kind of was just trying to be a little bit more vulnerable. Like, I'm just stressed. Like, and when I said it, like, there we had had a previous, like, interaction just like a couple minutes before that he was pretty upset about, and I didn't realize, but he kind of got annoyed with me and was kind of saying, like, I tried to do things for you today and they didn't even help. It's hard for me to hear that you say that you're stressed about this. Mm. And so that was his honest perspective. Like, it's hard for me to hear that because I was really trying to help you today. But back to me, I kind of felt like, can I just be stressed? I'm not saying it's your fault. I'm not saying you need to fix it. But can I just explain, like, I'm feeling a little frazzled right now. And Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, can I just say it's disappointing that you're not, you know, so like, that's a very, and I'm like, yeah, I guess you can.
Yeah. Well, I actually think you're getting a little closer, actually. I mean, you're like, great, this is what success is. Okay.
Yeah, we just like looked at each other and we're like, okay. And then like we didn't know, you know, what was next, I guess.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know if I should go to you, Brad, or anything, but let me just maybe say a little bit about that. So one of the things is that we tend to marry people that are different than us in their disposition. And the way that we feel more connected is not by getting the other person to do what makes us feel comfortable. It's in each person getting more integrated, more able to self-regulate. And then even in your difference, you start to feel more ease and more honest connection, even as people that process the world differently. And so the growth is happening in an internal way that has impact on the external, right? So what I hear, at least in your side of that, I would need to get a better sense of Brad's view of himself in that. But Kate, sounds like you were pushing yourself to not just go into accusation. Uh-huh. And I need you to help me with my emotional world. Uh-huh. But still sharing your emotional world. And so that's more integrated because you're revealing yourself without placing responsibility outside of yourself.
Uh-huh. Can you define the word integrated?
Yeah, I'll try. I've been thinking more about you guys through the lens of the Enneagram. I don't know why. It kind of keeps jumping out at me. Okay. So I think you're a four, Kate. Have you taken it?
No, I haven't yet.
Okay.
I was going to, and I totally
forgot. Let me answer
your
question in that frame for a minute, because the four is a person that tends to be on the creative side. It's the individualist, and they tend to feel emotions deeply, even in a bombarding way, and sometimes, and they have more connection with the creative parts of life and with the darker parts of being alive. So they tend to have a turbulent internal world. And I'm very grateful to the fours on the planet, honestly, because they tend to be the ones that are creative and are the musicians and the artists and the poets and the people that kind of experience the world from a more sensitive place. They tend to have more anxiety. They tend to have OCD, right? And they often are looking for a partner to join them in that turbulent world. They feel alone in it. They deeply want the sense of authenticity. Okay, so as I was listening to the last session, I was like, oh man, Kate's a four. Okay, it's so obvious to me right now. Okay, well, if I don't feel that way, I can't possibly do that because that's not how I feel. And also, I don't want just some superficial engagement watching a movie. I want you to know this world of mine. And Brad, who I think is a three, because he's saying, you know, I think I'm more of a three, actually shares a lot of similarities with a four, but the three tends to not want to dwell in emotion. They want to move into action. They want to go and solve and create and do. And so like the last thing I want to do is sit around and talk about your dark emotions because it makes me feel, you know, trapped. And then especially if, Kate, there's the implication that you should want to know this part of me if you really love me. And there's truth in that. Okay. So I do think that part of you guys growing is seeing each other more as you are. So to your question of integration, is being more able to understand like that is not Brad's job. And yet it is part of who I am. And so being more understandable to myself and to him is okay, which is different than you should solve it. Or if you knew anything about love, you would be really eager to be over here listening to all of my feelings or knowing those feelings, right? So I'll get to the integration question here a little more clearly in a second. So the four, when they sort of go into deeper disintegration, tends to move into more neediness and demandingness around their emotive world. And they can even be critical and even a little mean, right? Because they're sort of in touch with these feelings. They feel isolated in them. And they want authentic connection around them, around those feelings. And so then they can actually drive the disconnection that feels so painful for them, right? and that a part of them likes a tiny bit. Okay, so there's a four in my life that I love, so I know this disposition well through loving this person. But you know that there's a little bit of self-torture that's a part of the four's ability to embrace the dark. So a four can be really good at understanding another person's struggle, another person's pain. Like they can have a funny sense of humor, sometimes a dark sense of humor, because in some ways they know the dark. They are in it sometimes too much. So it can be isolating, but you also know how to join somebody in that and can have a lot of compassion for somebody in it. Of course, you're partnered with somebody who is like, I'm not into emotions. Like, you know, I'm into solving. I certainly want to be seen as a good person. That is definitely a three thing. And so you insisting that I join you in those darker emotions and being critical of me makes me feel defended and want to get away from you, which then I think, Kate, you take personally, like, do you love me or do you not love me? And why, how is seeing a movie with me about me? That's not me, right? You're right, in a way. You're right. So what integration is for the two of you is to better see one another and deal with the lesser parts of your own dispositions. And I have thoughts about what that is for you, Brad, too. But I think for you, Kate, it's recognizing I live in a more turbulent soul, and it's never going to be someone else's job to handle that. I have the gift and burden of working with that turbulence within me. And one of the ways that a four handles that well is to allow themselves periods and spaces to feel their feelings and to know their feelings, whether that's with a therapist or whether that's like through meditation or journaling. And then to have times where they are pushing themselves to move into principled action. You know, like, these are the things I'm going to do today. More structure, not having their emotions run them so much, and moving more into, I'm getting up and I'm making my bed. I'm not saying you have trouble with that, but like, I'm going to go through this routine. The person I love has like, well, they do their best when they have a routine that's like, this is the thing I'm going to do. And my emotions are going to be there, but I'm not going to be indulging them and spending lots of time with those emotions right now. Maybe later I'll give time to those emotions and that emotional world, because there's a lot of gifts in it. But right now I'm going to kind of push myself into these routines or these things that allow me to respect this part of me, but not let it run the show.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah.
I have one more thought about it, and then I'll turn to Brad here. But I really think if you're going to be happy in your marriage, that there really needs to be room to share your emotional world, right? That you're not just pretending it's not there. There's more responsibility for yourself in it, rather than what the hell's the matter with you? Why don't you love me? Why don't you want to join me in this? You're emotionally blocked. You know, it doesn't have the judgment in it. And it's kinder. It's not leading with an anger that you don't love me the way you should. It's more, okay, I want to love this person who's different than me. I can share with them who I am, but I'm not placing the idea on them that they owe me management of these feelings. And so I think, you know, when we first started our work together, I was talking to you a lot about, because I could see you leading with critique so much. But I think I understand it a little better through that framing of the Enneagram, that you're living in that world of a lot of emotion and then feeling isolated and then handling that with this kind of critique and judgment, especially because Brad's disposition is the achiever type. It looks shinier, but it makes you feel isolated. And so you're kind of chipping at it because it makes you feel like the crazy one and not really chosen and not really known. And so you kind of chip away at him, which makes him even more walled off from you and kind of eye rolling, like, you know, I'm a good guy. I'm doing a lot of good things. What do you want from me? And so it creates this impasse between you that I think feels very isolating for both of you. And so what integration is, especially for a four, is to be kind to yourself. I think that turbulence is a gift and a challenge, right? It's a hard world to live in, sometimes. And, you know, the person that I love is really gifted and has an insight on the world that is remarkable to me in a way, because they're so much more attuned to elements of living that I tend to not see, and can articulate and express those things in ways that I think are good for humanity. But it's also a lot of gifted people live in a more tortured reality. So it can be isolating. And so learning how to have compassion for yourself and to respect your emotions without letting them define you and run you is the path of integration. And being able to share who you are without the judgment and the anxiety in it, that's the path of integration.
So in this instance, I feel like I did pretty good.
Yeah. Would you? I do. I agree. Mean, I think so. Brad, loser, didn't. No, I'm just kidding. We'll get to Brad. I'm just teasing you. We'll get to Brad in a second. But
I do feel like a lot of times I don't do this well.
Yes.
You know, I will go into this like, I don't like feeling all of this. And
yes.
I'm going to figure out how it's your fault.
Yes, exactly.
I'm going to blame you for not doing X, Y, Z.
Exactly.
And that's where like the critique. And so I definitely
know that.
Have
that
yes,
path.
And,
yes.
And that this is something that I need to continue to check myself and challenge myself with.
But yes, in this moment, what you just described, I think is exactly leaning in the right direction. That is to say, I'm just feeling really anxious. So what I would say would be the ideal response to Brad's response. Maybe let me just be you and you do what you think Brad did and then what you think he'd do if I kept coming back with a more integrated response. So I'm like, oh, I'm just feeling so stressed with the household stuff right now. What did Brad say? Do you remember?
He said, it's just really hard for me to hear that because I surprised you and did some stuff on your to-do list and it feels like it did nothing.
Yeah. I actually really do appreciate that you did those things. Honestly, I do, because it does make a difference. And I know how quickly I have gone into the idea that you're responsible for my happiness. So I can see why you're hearing that in this way right now. But it's not actually what I mean. I'm just trying to kind of handle or express my feelings without going into blame. But I can see why you might see it as a critique.
He would probably say, like, even if you're not trying to blame me, I still have to deal with the way you act or treat me when you're stressed.
Can you say more what you mean by that, Brad?
Well, you were just really mean when we were trying to get out of the house and you were annoyed because I was taking a long time. So it just made me feel like, why are we even leaving to go get dinner?
Mm-hmm. I am actually sorry about that. I can get mean when I'm anxious and you're not doing what makes me happy. And I'm embarrassed about the fact that I lead with that meanness as much as I do. But you have a point.
What do you think you would say, Brad? First of all, it would be really hard. I probably wouldn't come quite so calm. I would try, but you're very calm. And I think that Brad feels that maybe anger or contempt, he
said. Yeah. Yes, definitely. He's feeling it because that's the level at which couples are communicating. It's the words are so secondary to one's level of integration. So I'm role playing Kate truly integrated. Like, yes, you are right. I am sorry that I do that, that I lead with meanness. I can see why it makes you feel judgmental of me and want to avoid me, because that's true, right? You know, it's both understandable because look, we're human beings trying to do life trapped in our minds. Okay. And so it's not strange that you're doing what you're doing. It doesn't mean you're a bad person, but it's an inclination that then drives alienation from each other. And so it causes you a lot of pain because it creates the response in your partner that makes you feel bad, even though it's familiar. You know your emotions so well which is part of your gift, but when it becomes the definer of your reality, then it becomes your vice. Look, we're human beings trying to do life trapped in our minds. Okay. And so it's not strange that you're doing what you're doing. It doesn't mean you're a bad person, but it's an inclination that then drives alienation from each other. And so it causes you a lot of pain because it creates the response in your partner that makes you feel bad, even though it's familiar. You know your emotions so well, which is part of your gift, but when it becomes the definer of your reality, then it becomes your vice. I apologize, and I will try to be better, but I go to it so easily. Uh-huh. Now, what do you think Brad would at least be thinking if you said that?
In that way?
Yes, in that way.
I mean, I think he would be like, finally you acknowledge it.
Do you think it would only be that, like, finally, she's got her crap together and saying what's true? Or would there be any positive feelings other than...
I don't know. What do you think, Brad?
What's your guess? So before we go to Brad, what's your guess about that?
I think that sometimes he meets me when I apologize or recognize how I've done something wrong. He will, at least 50% of the time or more, meet me with acknowledging his part. Mm. It kind of bugs me because it's like, well, yeah, of course now you can say it because I just did the hard thing and I was the first one to come forward, you know, like, good job. Like, I know that's very critique-like, but it feels a little bit like, well, of course you're going to say that.
But
now
why not be the strong one, Kate, really? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, why is it that he's supposed to be the one that comes forward first? Why not have it be you?
I don't want it to always be me.
I don't know that it will. If that's true, you guys are entitled to another session. So that is it. Like, if it's true.
Don't tell her that. She's like, wait, so how do I get this?
So the way she gets it is always leading out with strength and you never do it first. That's how.
This actually goes into Brad. Do you want to say what we were talking about just a little bit this morning about the defensiveness?
Yeah. When I listened to your recap of our session for Jennifer, what really struck me was the comment about we need to be able to let our guard down. Mm-hmm. And what immediately came to my mind was this picture of Kate and I pointing a gun at each other or holding a knife on each other. And like in this very example, it's like In this particular scenario, Kate had gotten really upset with me before we left. And I think it's like helpful context to understand where I was at. Prior to leaving, I had been watching football, a lot of great football games on. Mm-hmm. Kate had been taking a nap. Mm-hmm. And after I'd been watching football for a while, I was like, I feel like I need to do something. The achiever in me is like, gotta get some wins on the board, right? The number 3 coming out. And I walked over to the kitchen and I saw that Kate had her to-do list on the table. And this was not like a honey-do list. This was the Kate to-do list.
Yeah.
And a handful of things that like are not really things that I enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. Putting lights on the Christmas tree. Not our main Christmas tree, but like a secondary Christmas tree. Uh-huh. And sorting through the kids' snow clothes to find out which ones are like, what do we have for this year? And what do we not have? What do we need to go get? That kind of thing. There were a couple other minor things like getting out the Christmas train and setting it up and that kind of thing. And so I was like, you know, I'm going to see how many of these things I can knock out before Kate wakes up from her nap. And like no ask for me to do anything, no obligation, no pressure. It was like pressure free, get some wins, you know? And so I ended up getting, I think, 3 out of the 4 things at least done or partially done. Mm-hmm. Definition of done is part of the problem here. Mm. So that was my afternoon, was like cranking out some of those things. Mm-hmm. And then Kate woke up from her nap, I think, you know, made some arrangements for the kids, asked me if I wanted to go out to dinner, which was like, yes, major win, you know, especially because Kate doesn't always love to go out. She likes to be at home. And so at some point in the evening prior to going out, Kate's like, I'm going to go back and get changed and get ready to go. And I can't remember if I was watching part of a game or something. I said, okay. She went back, got mostly ready, And then I kind of trailed behind 10 minutes or whatever. And Kate was pretty much ready to go at that point, and I was not. And I was like, I'm going to change into some jeans and, do my hair or whatever. But this is something that's really a trigger for Kate and has been in our marriage for a long time, is that if she's ready to go and I'm not, because I was, it doesn't matter what I was doing,
whatever,
pressure washing the driveway, cleaning up the yard, whatever, it doesn't matter. And so she got super upset with me. And there were like two or three things that she said to me where it was just like, wow, she's really upset. And so anyway, we got into the car and Kate got in, was kind of fuming about that. Plus, I don't know, she couldn't find her phone.
Well, it was the dogs, because I was chasing down the dogs.
The dogs had gotten out of the house.
He refuses to do it. That's always a problem.
So Kate was pretty upset when she got in the car. And I was like, it kind of feels like you don't even really want to do this or like go out. And an immediate reaction from Kate was like, what do you mean? Like, I'm the one who asked you to go out. I'm the one who arranged the kids to go out.
I say that first? I think I first said, I know, I'm just really stressed. I'm sorry. But it wasn't like super like loving or, but I was like, I'm just super stressed. There's a lot going on. And I'm sorry. Like, kind of like that.
Okay. That may be, I don't remember the order. But anyway, then
Can I just ask you, Brad?
Yeah.
At that moment when Kate said that, did you feel like there was some give in that, even if it wasn't wholehearted?
I honestly don't remember it. And I feel like I would. But for sure, if it had been I'm really sorry, I know I was mean.
You would have remembered that, yeah.
I would have remembered that.
Well, it definitely wasn't that. So I'm not saying that.
Sorry. It wasn't that.
And so that situation was really the context for the rest of the conversation, which was actually kind of a different issue, I'll talk to my part, I think, in the second part of this conversation, which was it kind of shifted from Kate being upset and rude, kind of mean to me before we left, to I'm just really stressed. And again, sequencing of like who said what when is a little tricky here, but like I definitely expressed that I was disappointed. Like I was really trying to alleviate some of that stress from Kate by doing some of the things on her list so she could either go and do other things on her list or at least just not feel stressed about those things. Some important details in the mix here. I got the snow clothes out and I laid them all out, which is like half the step, but I needed Kate's direction on like what she wanted to do with some of those things. And so in that sense, it ended up making a big mess and kind of like half stepping, which the kids do all the time. Like, I'm going to reorganize the junk drawer. I'm going to clean out the fridge. And then they get halfway through and there's just a big mess on the table. And so I can appreciate that adds to their stress. And then it also kind of eked out through the conversation that like, I maybe had not put the right lights on the Christmas tree. And that was also hard to hear because it was like, I looked at them. I was like, this might bother Kate. I like had the chance to like make a different decision, but I like stood back from the tree and I was like, okay, I think they're close enough and she's going to be okay with it. This is a tree that's downstairs. Nobody sees it. Yada, yada. Anyway, so we got into that conversation and for Kate, that conversation was really about how like, look, there's just a lot going on. It's Christmas time. There's a ton of things to do. It's not about Brad's failings, but to me, like, again, the achiever, I'm like, I'm just hoping for that little glimmer of like, thank you for helping. I know it wasn't exactly what I wanted, but like, good job. Like, this was awesome. It was such a lift. Like, I know I'm still stressed out. And I think that where my part here is and where we got to kind of at the end of this conversation was like, I should just be okay. I showed up, I did my part. What I felt like was going to help Kate. And even if it didn't play out perfectly, it's like, I should be happy in who I was that day. And then the other side of this is that I should also be okay with Kate still being stressed. And that's not a function of me. Maybe I didn't execute everything exactly the way that she would have, but you know, she's got other factors to that stress and I should just be able to let her feel that. And I think that's where when I said to her that I was disappointed that I couldn't like alleviate that stress more or disappointed that it didn't have the outcome that I wanted, however I said it, whatever I said, it definitely sent the signal to Kate that I was not okay with her being, or that her stress was not okay. Mm-hmm. Like I was not accepting kind of that turbulence that you talked about as being a normal thing, being an okay thing. Like it was not an okay thing. Mm-hmm. I really don't think in that moment, I know in times past, I have really not been okay with Kate's feelings. I don't think I said anything to like explicitly mean that, but I think probably based on our history, Kate probably felt like this is Brad once again invalidating what I feel. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, that's where I feel like there was like just some good, like positive steps in the conversation, but also like some clinging to
still feeling the impasse. Yeah. Well, I think you're right. I do hear positive movement, and then I think your guard is still there. Now, it's all understandable. I'm not like, wow, what's the matter with the two of you? These are neural pathways that are pretty entrenched between you. You are accustomed to the familiarity of being in a power struggle with each other. And I think you both are looking for something from the other that the other is loath to give. You know, as I say often in my relationship course, the happiness of a marriage is how we handle not getting what we want. You have created a relationship that does not feel safe. It doesn't feel like, yes, we get into these struggles, but we both really like each other. You know, we both are glad to have each other, in part because of the not getting from the other person what you want. And what I think a three wants is to be seen in a certain way, okay, like to be seen as a good person, right? And they are not that into emotion, okay? So that is that even though they're very similar to the four in that both the three and the four are driven by a sense of shame. Now, Brad might be like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't feel any shame, okay? But that's because the three is so detached from their emotions usually, and they handle those feelings through achievement, through action. That's why you get finished with the game, you're like, I got to demonstrate my value even to myself here by getting some things done, okay? And so what the three is often looking for is the sense of like, you're worthy. And Kate, you're very loath to give that to Brad. And I don't think for good reasons. I think it's the lesser part of you that is kind of digging at him, because I think you're angry about the reflection you don't get from him.
Which is what? What am I wanting, you think?
Well, I think a deeper validation in your emotion. So there's some that's more legitimate than others. I think you're in that turbulence and you want to feel understood in it. You want to feel less alone in it. That's legitimate. Although by design, you married somebody who's less in that world and doesn't really even want to be in that world. You may have even married him in part because you wanted the relief of somebody who wasn't in that turbulence. Like another four would understand you, but you're not going to feel attraction and you're not going to find safety with them because they're too turbulent. I think that Brad gives a lot, does a lot, and wants to be seen as that person that's doing a lot. And you're always like, well, you could be doing more, you know? And so you know kind of how to get him right at the vulnerability, right? Yeah. And I'm not saying you're just scheming to do it. I think you're also in this place of, I feel anxiety. And I sort of thought you were going to kind of save me from that anxiety. And so I'm mad that you don't. And so then when you don't, I kind of indulge the idea with you that you're not as great as you think you are, because you got the wrong lights and you didn't help with the dogs and you got all the snow clothes out, but that didn't help me. And I mean, that's...
Yeah, and I mean, to go back to that part, yeah. I really did push myself on that part because I didn't want him to think that I was criticizing his effort. Like, oh, I can't do anything ever, right? And I did say like maybe twice, like I actually really did appreciate that.
Okay, that's good.
Like the fact that you thought about me, you saw it and you went and just did it. That meant a lot. I couldn't then just say though, I kind of like what I said next was, but it didn't take the stress off. Like, and I'm sorry, but like, I appreciate it in an emotional sense, like that meant a lot to me. The stress is still there. And so I'm going to be stressed. You know, those weren't mm-hmm. quite the right lights. And I don't even really want to tell you that. And the mm-hmm. snow clothes are visually stressing me out everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think yeah. Kate saying that actually, it made a big difference on the conversation. Uh-huh. And I recognized it and I felt Good. It. Like I do feel like even though the like the nuances of how I did things came out, I still felt like she did appreciate the
good,
effort.
Good, good.
And I don't always feel that. And so I do think it made a difference and it was progress. And I know that it was something that Kate was working on. And I think the part that I still need to work on is when Kate says, and I'm still stressed, is that's not like a, and by the way, Brad, I'm still stressed because you didn't do enough. It was like, I still feel this way. There's other
yes.
factors that are contributing to that. And it's okay for her to feel that way.
Yes.
And for me to not feel like I failed, my internal feeling naturally is like, okay, outcome not equal to what desired outcome was equals not achievement.
Right. Exactly. You know? Exactly. And yeah. so you both have a vulnerability because yes, I hear that Kate was moving in the right direction, as were you. Now, sometimes when couples are actually doing better, they kind of devolve more because they're maybe a little afraid of the new territory that they're in.
Maybe we've been making more progress than we thought.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
A lot of devolvement.
Well, because I think, yes, Kate was acknowledging that made a difference for me and was actually saying it in a new way, but maybe a little bit of ambivalence, because I think if she had been more fully in that position, I'm not saying it, you know, she should have been. It's understandable to be like, ooh, I'm not sure how to be here, that it would sound more like, this is really more my problem than yours. And it's a problem with the season, isn't that? Despite you doing that, which I really appreciate, I'm having a hard time regulating my feelings about everything that needs to be done. And so I'm sorry I'm being mean, right?
So would you not have even mentioned like the lights or the snow clothes everywhere?
I might have and I might not have. You know, I might have pushed myself to say, one way to lower my stress is to appreciate the gift and have different lights on the tree. That's one way to do it. And just handle my perfectionism, because that's another gift and curse of four, is the perfectionism, right? Like uh-huh. kind of idealism that drives a lot of it. Maybe I just am going to accept the gift and let it be. The real key is deeper responsibility. So with this person that I love, uh-huh. they were having trouble in a relationship, a little bit of trouble in a relationship. And so I was saying to them, well, they had a request of somebody that mattered to them. And I said, if you approach it like that, that's going to create defensiveness. That is in this kind of like, I need you to do this thing for me. Rather
right,
than-
So the four had a request of the other person.
Yeah. And I said, what's going to get you a lot further and is more honest is to say, I personally have an anxiety about this that's hard for me. And it would mean a lot to me if you could do this, because this is a struggle of mine. And so I said, like, that invites generosity because you know who owns the problem. Rather than in your anxiety, you're moving into some criticism of them and wanting them to do something differently. But in their world, that doesn't even exist as a problem.
Yeah.
And so if you own it as your problem, you invite a lot more compassion. Because you really are living in that world and it's hard to be there. But for you to own that you're in that world and they are not helps them to want to help you. When it's more like, what's the matter with you? You should do life the way that would make me comfortable. You invite resistance and resentment.
I can very much resonate with what you just said, Jennifer.
You said this to me.
And applying it like to the OCD stuff, especially. Mm-hmm. Like I can say probably in the 20 years that we've been together that it's never been framed that way. But it does, like, even the way you said it, it really evokes compassion. That's like,
yes,
she really does struggle with this and I can help. And
yes.
I still try to. It's so funny. Like I'll go to the hospital for something and I'll come home and I'm okay. Take my shoes off. I'm going to go straight to the shower. And then it's like, oh, but I forgot to wipe down my car seat. And I... Yeah. You know, then get in the car and go somewhere. And then it's like, you know, mm-hmm. I kind of messed up. And then I definitely get reminded of that. if just at the outset or at some point, Kate would say, hey, like, I really appreciate that you're trying.
Yes.
And like, this is, it's just really hard for me. And so, you know, every little effort you can to do the, like, it makes such a big difference.
Yes.
And so anyway, that just really resonated.
Yeah. And that's what deeper integration is right there, is like, I know who I am and I know where I struggle and I know who owns the problem. And that invites a much deeper connection. Like, I know that you prefer to not deal with these emotions, but if you were able to listen to me because I've felt so overwhelmed today, this is just a much different ask. Because then it's like, yes, it's got to be hard to be in that mind sometimes, you know. It's not like I'm going to get trapped and I'm supposed to solve those emotions. That's a scarier thing to walk towards. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Kate.
I guess, Brad, do you feel like in the most recent years, I have never been like, this is an OCD thing. I know it makes no sense. Like, I feel like I take responsibility for that emotion or what I'm feeling. I'm recognizing. Do you feel like I do that?
I definitely feel like, let's just say there's a sliding scale of like, I just need you to do this versus this is a me thing and I could really use whatever help you're willing to give with it. Like, I think you've taken steps on that scale to your point of like acknowledging that this doesn't really make sense. Like, I think is a step in that direction. It's not quite the step of like, this is a me thing and I could use help.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is actually kind of similar to how I wrestle a little bit with some of the home stuff, which is like, oh, if Kate were to say, like, I'm just like, I'm really underwater and I could use some support. I'm really struggling. That to me is so much more inviting than like hair on fire because you're not alleviating the stress that I'm feeling right now. And you could be doing so much more to do that. And whatever it is that you're doing looks like either the opposite. It changes the dynamic completely for me. But this is where we've gotten into trouble too, is me expressing, and I think we talked about this last time, is like, I should not be coaching Kate on how to do life better.
Why is the way that you do life this very, like, the way that you're asking me to approach it? Like, I get it. You don't want it to be mean, but like me just being like, ah, I need help. I'm stressed. Like, can you help me? Like, that's kind of seems more like a four type thing to do. Why should I be the three? And I'm not, so bratty. I'm just like,
no, I wouldn't say your goal is to be a three. I would say your goal is
to unlock the rest of this episode and the entire 9-part Brad and Kate series. Click the link in the show notes and subscribe to Room for Two. Not only will you get access to the full Brad and Kate series, but you'll also have access to over 100 episodes that are just as powerful. Click the link in the show notes to learn more.